season of Fight Predictions is here. Join myself, Ian the Law Hurst, the man known as Big Chuppy, Jensen Hurst, as we try to predict and break down all the biggest fights and events in the world of MMA and combat sports. Welcome to the Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast.
I said it last year when I heard you to take part. We're here to take over.
And welcome to another episode of Fight Predictions. This is an all new season, a 4-month season running from now, the beginning of September, right until the end of the year. So this one will be for UFC Fight Night, Darren Till versus Derek Brunson. So joining me for this one, he's not been on the podcast yet, got an episode coming up, is Jensen Hurst, my cousin.
Hello.
That's it, talking to the mic.
How are we doing?
Just looking at me then with a smile on your face. Yeah, this is an audio podcast, so people can't see your face.
I know, I understand that.
Obviously, last night, there was Jake Paul versus Tyrone Woodley. Yeah, we're not massively into it, are we?
No, mate. Not at all.
not a bit of
a shit show, really, isn't it?
Yeah, you're not big on Jake Paul, are you?
No, not at all, mate.
I'm actually neutral when it comes to Jake Paul.
Yeah, I was more intrigued about Daniel Dubois and the Fury fight, to be fair. But,
yeah. Did you watch it?
I've watched the highlights. I didn't stay up for it. But, yeah.
What do you think?
He didn't seem to do amazing, Fury-wise.
No. He's got tiny arms, hasn't he?
Yeah. Boy.
I think they tried to set it up so Fury could get a good win to get some intrigue into what he does next, but I feel like it was lackluster.
It weren't convincing.
No.
Really.
I'm pretty neutral with Jake Paul. I don't care if he wins. I don't care if he loses. I've never watched him fight. I've watched the highlights for this because I need to talk about it. Other than that, I don't really care. A lot of people seem to hate him. You want to see him get knocked out. I just don't want to see him. I'm not interested.
What's your view upon him being in the sport? And what?
I think
is he good for it?
I think he's in a middle ground at the minute. So there's like celebrity boxing and then there's high-level boxing. He's like in the middle because he's not a bad boxer, but he's not good enough to fight good guys around his level, a few fights, at like a cruiserweight division his size.
I just see it like people say, oh, he's bringing a new audience to the sport. But I think that's only temporary, and they're only coming to watch the fights he's having. Which it doesn't bring them to watch other fights in the sport.
No.
So it's only going to be temporary, like a temporary benefit.
I agree.
Whereas it makes a mockery of boxing in a way that will be permanent.
Yeah.
I think. It's a short-term fix. Yeah.
That could make a long-term.
Exactly.
Sort of effect. Boxing's struggling anyway. It's a struggling sport as it is.
It's not been the best as of late.
It's not been marketed right. No. I think with the growth of the UFC over the last... Obviously, it's been around since the 90s, but this last 10 years, it's really taken off.
Definitely.
I think that hinders boxing a lot.
It does, but you find there's a big crossover. A lot of people that like to watch the boxing want to watch the UFC as well.
Yeah.
I know a lot of my mates do. It doesn't matter whether it's UFC or boxing, we all want to watch.
I think if a lot of the top boxers fought more often and it weren't such a...
Definitely.
It's just so difficult to get them actually in the ring together. It takes years and it's exhausting.
It's shocking. Like, it's how long it takes for a big fight to materialise.
The Tyson Fury versus Anthony Joshua fight, I use that as an example all the time. I've got to the point where I just don't care anymore.
It's gone on for so long.
Which is crazy, because I really wanted to see that fight, and a lot of people do, but I'm at a point where I'm just like, if it happens, it happens. I just don't care anymore. I'm sick of hearing about it.
It's dragged on for way too long.
That boxing needs to adjust how it structures its...
It seems to be they're just cherry-picking for the money, to be fair, whereas they don't want...
And the fans are wising up now.
Yeah, they are. Fans get definitely. It. Big time. And I don't see... That's also making a mockery of it. When they don't want to fight unless the money's right.
Like, yeah.
If you're at the top of your game, you should be fighting everyone who challenges you.
You want to be the best. That's what you want to see.
Of course.
So before we move on, just for fun, who would you like to see Jake Paul fight next if he fights again? Who would you think he's going to fight next?
Fucking hell. put Tyson up against him. Mike Tyson.
I think Logan,
let him knock his head off. He likes fighting older people. Put fucking Mike Tyson in there and let him knock his head off.
I think his older brother wants the Tyson fight, but
yeah.
I actually think it's going to be Anderson Silva.
Do you think?
Anderson's just beat Chavez, hasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he did, actually, yeah.
And he looked good.
Yeah, he did. I've seen that. I've seen the highlights for that as well.
I think that was at 185 or 190.
I think it was 185.
He's about to box Tito Ortiz, which you should make a mockery of. Mm-hmm. And that, then maybe they do that. But anyway, let's move on because I'm not interested in celebrity boxing. I'm interested in UFC Fight Night, Darren Till versus Derek Brunson. So we've got a 6-fight card. Yeah, some of the fights are a little bit tough and some of them are good. How predictions work for those that haven't listened to it before. On a fight night, we pick 6 fights. On a pay-per-view, we pick 7. So, for example, this is going to be a 6-fight card. Not only are we picking who we think is going to win, we're also using something called prediction points. So how prediction points work is, if there's 6 fights, the pick that you're most confident on, you'd put 6 points on that pick. The next one, you'd put 5, all the way down to your pick that you're least confident on, and then you drop 1 point on that. So the idea would be, if we pick all the same guys, it still can be quite an interesting competition, depending on how confident you are on that fight. It becomes quite a good competition. So this technically would be season 3. We've had 2 seasons before. Musa won season 1. I won season 2. So I'm a little bit more experienced. Obviously, this is the first time you've done it. I know you've listened to a couple of the episodes, so you can get a feel for it. Yeah, we'll see how you get on. Happy with that?
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, like you say, first episode, so we'll just see how it goes.
Is there
Take
any?
As it comes.
Is there a specific fight on this card that you're looking forward to?
I'm intrigued about the Aspinall fight. To be fair, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how far we can go.
Yeah, I think he's going to do well.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I agree. Right then, so let's get into it. So first fight is Molly McCann, 10-4, against Ji Young Kim, 9-3-2. I'll make my pick first, and then you can make yours.
No
so.
Problem.
Right, so my notes. Molly McCann, she's on a 2-fight losing streak. Yeah, so that's not great. I think they call her Meatball.
Meatball McCann, that's the one.
Molly's last 5 fights have gone the distance, going 3-2. So she's won 3 of them, sorry.
Yeah.
But she seems to be a decision machine, whether she wins or loses. Kim is 3-2 in her last 5.
They're both coming off losses. McCann's pretty much fighting for a career.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. Kim, 4 of her last 5 went to decision and 2 were split decision.
Yeah.
So even though she's 3-2, she could possibly be 1-4 at the minute. Because they were split decisions, so they were close. Mm. So that they, even though it looks like she's doing okay, or she is doing okay, but even though she's got 3 wins out of her last 5, 2 of them could have gone the other way with it being a split decision. So it's a tough fight to call, and I agree, whoever loses this could be on the chopping block.
That's it.
So for me, I'm not confident in this fight at all.
Exactly.
At all.
Not at all.
I don't see how any... I think it's definitely going to go to decision.
This is the one I've got the least points on.
Yeah. I'm going to go Ji Young Kim, 1 prediction point. What about yourself?
That's exactly the same as what I've got. Yeah. Kim for 1 point. This was one that I really didn't know how to choose. Like you say, both coming off losses. Kim's got a massive reach advantage. She's got a 10-inch reach advantage. So,
yeah.
And to be fair, she's missed weight on 2 of her last 3 fights. So
she's bigger than
she's going to be a bigger fighter. Yeah, I think McCann's probably on a downward spiral. So I'm going to go for Kim.
Kim for 1.
Yeah, Kim
so
for
we're
1.
We're in agreement there.
Yeah.
Next fight. So this one's a bit of a clusterfuck, to be honest.
Oh, God.
So it's Jack Shaw against his 3rd opponent now. So he was fighting a Russian guy, I think.
Goff.
Yeah, and that got pulled. And then he was fighting Ziad Lashvili. There's some tough names on this card. I've actually been... Season 1, I was terrible at reading names. Then I got better, but this card's going to test me. So, that last fight would have been great, that Ziad. He was 12-0.
Yeah.
He's pulled out, and now we've got a last-minute replacement. I'll try and pronounce this. Liv Divik Shaolinian.
Who the fuck is that guy? Who the fuck is that?
Livdevic Shaolinian. I think that's how you pronounce his name.
That's not bad. I think he's not bad.
Against Jack Shaw. So Jack Shaw's 14-0. Shaolinian 9-2-1. So he's got a good record, 9-2-1. That's pretty solid. Obviously coming in late notice.
10 days notice. So.
Short notice, yet. Yeah. So I've had to scrub most of my notes here. But Shaw is currently 3-0 in the UFC. I believe his last one was a split decision. He was dominating up until that point. But he's obviously starting to fight the better guys now. He's starting to get tested. Shaolinian lost in the Ultimate Fighter semi-finals. Obviously getting a bit of a break here to try and find a bit of redemption.
That's it. It's a newcomer. He's got to make his point, hasn't he?
Yeah. But
we'll see.
So I haven't got much on this fight, obviously, because it's just changed. I didn't realise till the last minute. But I am going to go Jack Shaw for 6 prediction points. I'm very confident that he should win this one quite comfortably. What about yourself?
Imagine so.
What you got?
Yeah, I've got, like you say, we've had to scribble notes, so I've not got much on this fight, but I'm pretty confident Shaw's going to do it. I've got 5 points on Shaw. So like you say, he's got to do it, really. He can't be losing against a newcomer.
If he wants to be in that top tier,
yeah, he needs to.
He should be winning this one.
He's got to be making a point big time.
Yeah. Yeah, so 5 on
Yeah,
Shaw.
I've got 5 on Shaw.
Right, cool. So next fight, it's one of England's, or I suppose Britain's, sort of top up-and-comers. He's been around a little while, but he's probably one of the bigger names out of the country. It's Paddy the Baddy Pimlet against Luigi Vendramini.
Vendramini?
Vendramini.
Vendramini.
Vendramini. Fuck me, some of these names. So Paddy the Baddy Pimlet against Luigi Vendramini. So Paddy the Baddy, 16-3. I believe he used to fight at featherweight, but now he's at lightweight. I'm pretty sure he was a featherweight. I think he won the Cage Warriors featherweight title. Luigi, 9-2. Solid record as well. I've got Paddy is on a 2-fight win streak, going 3-2 in his last 5. Luigi lost his last fight, going 3-2 in his last 5. So I think his last fight was his UFC debut, if I'm not mistaken. Came up short in that one. But he is 3-2 in his last 5, the same as Paddy. I'm not very confident on this fight. Mm. A lot of the debutants, especially out of this country, don't always seem to do as well as we'd like them to. Paddy's a great grappler. I don't know enough about Vendramini. His record's pretty good. And the little bits I've seen of him, I think he could edge this one. He may cause the upset. But I'm going to go 2 points on Paddy the Baddy. Mm-hmm. I'm not confident, but I'll go 2 prediction points that Pimlet can get it done. What about yourself?
Well, like you say, it's quite a hard one to choose. Vendramini's only been finished at welterweight, so you'd expect him to do fairly decent. But he is 2-1 in UFC, so...
Yep.
He's like sort of make or break now, especially if he loses to Paddy.
You say he's 2-1 in the UFC, so he's had 3 fights. I thought he only had 1.
No, I think he's 2-1 from what I've looked into. I might be wrong. I've got Paddy for 3 points.
3 on Paddy.
Yeah.
So fairly confident then.
I'm hoping so. Like, you want him to do good, but we'll see.
Yeah,
he's got a big point to prove.
It's tough with this competition because it's not always who you want to win; it's who you think's going to win.
Yeah,
but it is—it's tough.
But it seems like he's got, like, I've watched his interviews and whatnot. He seems like he's confident. He's going for it. He wants it.
He's experienced enough now.
You'd have thought so, definitely.
He's had a couple of losses. He's had some wins. He's recovered. Yeah. Moved up a weight. I think he could do well.
Yeah.
Next fight then. So, again, another tough name. Modesta Bukaska.
Bukaskus, I'm pronouncing it as.
Modescus Bukaskus. We'll go with that. Against Khalil Rountree. So, this one's tough. So, Bukaskus, he's 11-4. Rountree, 9-5, which is probably one of the lower-end records in the UFC. Obviously, 9-5 is not bad. But to be in the UFC into the top league. Obviously, I think, from what I remember, he came in through the Ultimate Fighter quite a few years ago now. Yeah. He seems to have managed to stay around. Bukaskus, he's on a 2-fight losing streak. So is Rountree.
Yeah, they both lost last 2, aren't they?
Whoever loses this is going to be on a 3-fight losing streak, potentially cut. Bikaskis has finished 10 out of his 11 wins. So when he wins, it's usually by finish. He's not much of a sort of decision fighter. He likes to go for the win, for the finish. There was a fight, I can't remember who it was, Roundtree fought. And he'd been in Thailand for a while, learned a lot of Thai boxing, and he came out with this like pure Thai boxing stance, which you don't really see that often in the UFC. Light on the front foot, loads of leg kicks, sort of quite stationary. I think it was Eric Anders, actually. And he looked amazing. And it was like, oh, here we go. Like, this is like his new, this is the new version of him. He's going to be lighting everybody up at light heavyweight. And then he sort of fell off since there. Obviously, if it was Eric Anders, which I think it was, he's a natural middleweight. And then he's gone on a bit of a losing streak since there. And he can't seem to find, I'm pretty sure he announced his retirement not too long ago. And then obviously he's backtracked on that, which is always a bit worrying. So it shows where
he's got a split decision in his head. He doesn't know what he wants to do.
He might not be all in.
Got to be committed, haven't you?
You have to be, in the UFC especially. So for me, I'm going to go Bikaskis, 5 prediction points. I'm quite confident on this one. I'm quite confident. He's a finisher. I think he might take Khalil out and finish him.
They've both got questionable chins, though. So I think they're going to come out banging, do you think?
Yeah, it's the...
So whoever rocks who.
Yeah, it's the potential retirement. Obviously, big guys, light heavyweights.
Yeah.
I'm quite confident this could be Khalil's last fight. Bikaskis will get it done.
Yeah.
Who have you got?
He's the younger man as well, Bikaskis. He's only 27, whereas Roundtree's 31. He's getting on a bit. If he's already made the sort of decision he was going to retire and then didn't, like you say, his head's not in it, you'd have thought. I've got Bikaskis for 2.
So not massively confident.
Well, it's
like you said, big guys.
You've got to split the points, haven't you? So
yeah, big guys.
I'm more confident on other fights.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Anything else on that fight?
No, not. I think that's about it, mate.
It could be a fun one. Obviously, they're not contenders. Not anytime soon, anyway. Unless one can completely change their career around and go on a bit of a streak. But at this minute in time, it's more they're fighting for their job, less of a contendership.
It seems to be quite a theme with this card, to be fair, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Dodgy
quite
names.
A lot of them. Yeah.
Some strange names.
Strange names and fighting for the career.
They're in hot water.
Yeah.
So, co-main event. This fight's not quite the same as what we've just said. This is one of the exceptions to the rule. It's Tom Aspinall, 10-2. He's ranked 13th against Sergey Pavlovich. He's ranked number 15, 14-1. So we've got 10-2 against 14-1. So technically, Pavlovic's got a better record than Aspinall. Not by a lot, but 14-1 is pretty impressive. Ranked 15. Pavlovic fought Alistair Overeem in his UFC debut. Falling short.
It's an hard fight, though. Isn't it?
Lost by KO. First fight in the UFC against Alistair Overeem. That's his only loss.
Yeah.
Since then, he's on a 2-fight win streak with 2 first-round KOs. Yeah, so he came unstuck against Alistair Overeem, all that pressure, first UFC fight. Since then, 2 first-round KOs. Looks like he's turned it around. Aspinall's on a 6-fight win streak. His last 3 in the UFC, all by finish. One of them, his last one, was obviously an aging, but still a former heavyweight champion in Andrei Arlovsky.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hype behind Aspinall, but Pavlovic is no joke. Definitely his toughest opponent yet. It's tough, this one. I'm not massively confident on this, just because how good Pavlovic is, and I can see him winning this fight on the feet. But I'm going to go Aspinall for 3 prediction points. Not massively confident. Again, 2 big guys, 2 big heavyweights. Aspinall's got some great grappling, some good striking as well. Pavlovic's dangerous, though. He's a finisher.
Well, he's definitely dangerous. Yeah, they both are. They both got dynamite in their hands, haven't they?
Yeah.
But Aspinall's fast, really fast. And I think he's pretty fast, mate. He's a former Tyson Fury sparring partner.
Yeah.
If you watch how he moves, you can see he's learned a lot from Fury.
He's on that upper end of the weight class as well, isn't he? He's right near the top of the weight limit.
Yeah, he's like, it's just the way he punches and feints, and you can see he's learned from Fury, fighting Fury. To be honest, mate, I'm feeling a bit fruity on this one. I've lumped on. I've gone for six on Aspinall.
Six?
But
Jesus.
I like a little bit of a gamble now and again.
That is a gamble, that.
It is, but...
That Pavlovic's no joke.
Yeah, I know he's no joke, but I think that Aspinall is going to... I think he's going to be big.
To be fair...
I think he's going to do big things.
I agree.
I hope he does anyway.
I hope he does as well.
I really do.
That could pay off for you, I mean, if he wins
That's probably the one we've gone six. The furthest part on up to now.
I agree, yeah. We've still gone have we gone the same way on every single fight?
Yeah, we have.
This is the beauty of prediction points. Because depending on what you get right and wrong, depends where you are. Right, we'll move on then. Main event time. So it's 7 ranked at middleweight. Darren Till, 18-3-1. It's a solid record, that. Against Derek Brunson, ranked 5th, 22-7. So looking at it from just that, Darren Till, good record, a lot of hype behind him. Problem with this is, I really want Darren Till to do well. I want to see him fight Adesanya. I want him to be a top guy. I want him to be a contender at middleweight. Obviously, most of his success has come at welterweight. Brunson's on a 4-fight win streak since losing to Adesanya. Yeah. So he was back and forth. I think he lost to Souza, Adesanya. But since then, 4-fight win streak. He was known as sort of an explosive first round fighter, whether he won or lost, depending on that first round. Seems to have calmed down a little bit now. He's learned how to go through these sort of longer rounds, take his time, a bit less nervous. And it seems to be working for him.
Definitely. It were a lot quicker and trying to finish it too early. Yep. In his earlier fights, weren't they?
It's like a panic rush almost.
Seems to have slowed down a lot if you watch his recent stuff.
Yeah. He looked panicky, but because he knew he hit hard, he was like, I need to hit him hard as soon as I can. Whereas now he seems to have settled down. Again, 4-fight win streak's pretty impressive. Darren Till, 1-3 in his last 4, with 1 win being a split decision over Gastelum.
Yeah.
I agree he did win that fight. I picked him when I watched the fight.
Yeah.
I gave him the decision. But he was still close against Gastelum, a smaller middleweight.
Look who he's fought. He's fought Masvidal, Whittaker and Woodley in his last 4. And Gastelum,
yeah. I mean, obviously Woodley finished him bad. Masvidal finished him bad.
Yeah.
The Gastelum fight was close. And then Whittaker just... It was a close fight, but he just outpointed him. It was a little bit too much for him. Out-wrestled him.
He's only a young man, though, isn't he?
He's young.
He's only 28.
Problem is, though... He's had a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
He's been out a while. I think it's knee injury. I can't remember if it was a shoulder as well. He seems to be picking up a lot of damage in the gym, which is worrying. I think he should be a middleweight, but the success he had at welterweight is because he was so much bigger than them. Skilled as well, but he was just so much bigger. I've got here, Till hasn't won by finish since October the 21st, 2017. That was against Donald Cerrone, who's a lightweight.
Yeah.
Or he's not a bad size welterweight, but he's fought at lightweight. Obviously, 2 weight classes up now. So he's not known as a finisher. And Brunson is. I want Till to win, but my heart says Till, but my head is going to have to say Brunson. I'm going to go 4 prediction points on Derek Brunson.
Ooh.
Who have you got?
So this is the one we've gone opposite on out of them all, then. Like you say. This is one that I had to sit and think about for quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've gone for Till 4.
Till 4.
Yeah, but it was really hard. Could have gone, it can go either way, this. And like you say, Brunson has definitely calmed down a lot. He picks his punches now more. He doesn't, before, like, if you look at some of his earlier fights, it looked like he was trying to fight a swarm of wasps. It did. You watch how many punches he's throwing. It does. It's crazy, man. And now it looks like he's picking them. So
he's finally found his stride.
He's finally fighting better. Well, how not, do you not think better,
Till,
but...
Do you think Till outpoints him, or...?
I'm hoping so. Yeah. I'm hoping so, but it's going to take quite a bit of patience if he's going to...
Yeah,
and he's got to stay out of the way.
Again, I want Darren to win. And as soon as I looked at this fight, first instinct was, I'm going to pick Darren Till for this. I think he's fought better guys. Maybe an all-round better fighter. But when I started digging into it, I was like, Brunson's on fire at the minute.
Yeah, he's a beast, mate.
And Till's struggling at middleweight.
Yeah. We'll see. I could be totally wrong with that
one. We'll see. Yeah, obviously, Till's been knocked out a few times.
I'm hoping Till's going to come back and be looking good.
I think we all do. MMA is a cruel, cruel sport. That's the difference. It's the difference between pro wrestling and actual fighting.
Yeah.
You can pick who wins in pro wrestling and you can put the favourite guys over. But as you saw in CM Punk's debut in the UFC, everybody wanted him to win and he got fucking trashed in less than a minute. That's how it is.
That's it, mate.
That's just how life is in MMA. So that'll do us then. So we've pretty much gone the same pick on every single fight up until the main event. So that might be the decider. Obviously, prediction points count as well. So we will be back for UFC 266. That's a stacked card.
It's a good card.
Obviously, it's got the return of Diaz and Lawler, the rematch.
There's some very good cards coming up, isn't there?
Yeah. The main event is... it's not Ortega. That's 267, isn't it? Ortega Volkanovski.
I don't know, because I'm getting all the next three are awesome. So I'm getting mixed up.
266, 267, 268 are all stacked.
Really stacked cards. Are we doing all three?
Oh, yeah, we're going to do all three. We'll do one or two in between as well, because there's some good fight nights. Obviously, there's Ortega vs. Volkanovski coming up. I think that's 267.
Yeah.
You've got the light heavyweight fight between Jan Blachowicz and Glover. You've got the rematch of Usman vs. Covington. It is Volkanovski vs. Ortega, 266. Yeah, Shevchenko vs. Murphy as well for the women's flyweight belt. No spoilers, but my 7 points might be going on that one.
You'd have thought so, really, to be fair.
You'd think so.
Just looking at the 267 now, that's a very good card.
That's what I mean, yeah. There's some good Bellator stuff coming up, so we might dig into that as well. The 266 card, they've got Curtis Blaydes vs. Rosenstrike, wrestler vs. striker. Could be fun. Usually, it's not always the same. Dan Hooker returns after his fight against Michael Chandler. He'll be fighting Haskapas. I can never pronounce his name, but I've seen him. Basically, mini Gastelum. It looks like Kevin Gastelum.
Yeah.
But that'll do us today then. So we'll be back for 266. And we'll see if I've retained the title and ability.
Oh, I don't know about that.
As the best predictor in all of Sheffield. I'll see if you can slide in
see
as a
the
rookie.
Younger cousin can come in and take the crown.
This rookie just comes in and takes over. Well, we shall see. But anyway, thank you for listening. Follow us on Instagram at TheCPWPod. TheCPWPod on Instagram. I might get Twitter soon. Haven't got a clue how to use it. So thank you for listening and we'll see you on the next one.
Thank you very much.